Now that's as it should be.
Your things.
My sonic screwdriver, thank you.
And, these two.
Please, keep.
Really?
Yes, really.
I better go before you change your mind.
Blake! Next Christmas, take a vacation. Just don't be here.
Right. Thanks. Thanks, Doctor.
See you around, Grace.
There you go, interfering again.
And Grace, something you should
know.
Don't
tell me.
Why not?
I know who I am. That's enough.
I'm glad. Come with me.
I can't. I'm going to listen to the 20 megabyte podcast.
You come with me.
Me come with you?
Yes.
Me come with you. It's tempting.
Services in association with Who1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello.
Hello, Kirby.
Hello.
Hello. Are we bringing everyone else in?
Yeah, I'm just... Give me a chance.
I have
the power, you know. I have my finger over little ticks
He's
and stuff.
The power.
Scrolling down the list as we speak. I think I've got everyone. Here we go. I just hope it doesn't... there we go.
Ooh.
Look at that.
A whole bunch of people.
Just hope it doesn't overload Skype, like I was saying earlier on. Right. I will say, Daphne, last time you were on, we had a few technical issues, and those technical issues were that I think when everybody else spoke, they cut out your audio. So I've told them if that starts happening, either to mute their microphones, obviously I don't have to mute mine because I'm special, or... Lord, what's that?
Yeah,
gotta be Robert.
Robert's
on. Robert. Oh, get Kirby. I'm just staring at him. Just staring.
Yes, getting yourself into trouble.
So you've got cheesels instead of twiglets, right?
Yes, they're the Australian snack of choice.
Aren't you going to say hello?
If you say so.
Hello.
Hello, Daphne.
Hello.
Hello.
This is the second weekend in a row, Daphne.
Is it?
After last week, yes.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that was an amazing thing, that what we did, that regenerate. I'm telling you.
Oh, that was great.
I was amazed, shocked and amazed.
Right, is everybody here? I'll just got to go there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Good Lord. Is Matthew there?
Might be of it.
Yeah, I had my microphone muted.
You still don't say, you sound like you're underwater or something.
What about now?
Maybe he is underwater. Oh,
no.
Yeah. You sound clear. You just sound very far away.
Get out of the bath, Matthew.
Come into the room with your computer.
That's probably a good idea, isn't it?
Probably.
Oh, he sounds really upset.
You're still not sounding good. How am I? I've got my microphone set up.
Different.
You sound awful, Kirby.
Yeah,
awful.
Kirby, you've got John with you.
New microphone.
Yeah. Yes, this is my John Smith microphone.
I think introductions are in order for everyone.
Yes, that was Vito. Hello, Vito.
Hello, Vito.
Hello, Vito.
Hello, Vito.
That was Daphne. Vito. And here's Kirby.
Hello.
Hi, Kirby.
Here's Robert.
Hi, Kirby.
No, that was Robert then.
Hi, man.
That was Robert then.
Hello, Reese.
Hello.
Reese is the cool one with the sunglasses that clicked to his thingy. And Robert's disappeared. And who else have we got? Matthew. Hello, Matthew.
Matthew.
Hello.
Hi.
Matthew's the one that's speaking from a fish pond.
Yes. Oh, you're back.
I don't know what the problem is. It sounded just fine when I was testing Skype earlier.
I see. Huh. See, that's always the thing I always do. If in doubt, blame Skype. It's generally that's the reason why. But anyway, right.
Does Daphne know where we all are?
Well, no, we're on Skype.
Remind me.
I'll go first. I'm on the Isle of Wight.
All right.
Now, the Isle of Wight is in southern England off the coast near Bournemouth.
Yeah. Yep. I'm glad you didn't say Portsmouth because I would have been upset. But yes, that is correct.
Just loves to show off, is all I'm saying.
Yes, Google Maps is an incredible tool, isn't it?
Other than being an island, I didn't even know where it was.
Yes. Rather dispense with our usual introductions. Oh, sorry, Debs.
Have we started the show yet, or?
Oh, you want to start the show?
No, it can't be.
Okay.
But I'm Mary, and I'm in the Midwest. I'm in Ohio.
Yay!
Ohio! We're in Ohio.
Where in Ohio? Dayton, which is near Columbus, if you know, or Cincinnati, kind of halfway between.
I visited Cleveland once.
Oh, I'm from Cleveland.
Who's next?
I'm just outside of Atlanta.
Right.
Georgia.
Yes.
Georgia. Right. I'll be singing today, and I will be here all week.
Cool. That's all right.
Okay, that's not bad.
Go on in, Robert.
Robert, and I'm in a house in Australia.
Where in Australia?
Western Australia, right sort of below Perth, which is capital of Western Australia.
And tell us again what time it is.
It's 3:09 a.m. and I've had no sleep. And I had no sleep last week for staying up for the regenerate.
Every week. That's the time.
We're very sorry about the regenerate time. There was very little we could do to accommodate.
It's a bit hard when it's a worldwide thing, isn't it?
Yeah, there's always going to be a lot of people, especially once we found out that 81 countries were represented there. I can't imagine what all of their time zones were. I have no idea, but it was extraordinary, really.
Hmm. Did you find out how many people in the end?
Press record before we
go. Well, I want to give you guys as many stats as possible, but now Vito's saying we should record that.
Yeah.
He's an efficient man.
Yes, you know. But I'm happy to repeat it.
I think it's only Reese left now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I live on the other side of Australia in Victoria, which is, I live about 3 hours away from Melbourne.
I think we're going to get to Victoria in December, aren't we, Dale?
I think so, yeah.
Cool.
We'll be over there.
Oh, Reese.
Yay.
Yeah. What's the name of the poem?
It's Lords of Time 2.
Lords of Time 2?
Oh, yes.
You're going to that one, Reese?
I'm planning to.
He is now.
I know one of our listeners went to the first one.
You've got more of a chance than me, haven't you, Reese?
Much more of a chance, yes.
Now,
how many miles is the distance between Perth and Victoria?
About 3,000, something like that.
Oh,
you know.
Crossing America.
Jeez.
And me a drop in the pond.
Yeah,
right. Yes. Just a little bit.
A little drive.
This is in keeping with the new tradition of Doctor Who. This has been the longest leading to me into me saying, "Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast number 172." I've done all the introductions. At least I don't have to do those bits. And an official welcome back to the show, Daphne.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. Yay!
And not half as thrilled as we are. Now, obviously, this now upgrades you from friend of the show to family member of the show, so congratulations.
Aha! I love that. I do.
So, I mean...
Without our normal introductions, what about our quotes?
Oh, go on then. Here's Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
Go on, Kirby.
Deja vu, where am I?
Matthew Kressel.
Who am I?
You're the one that's stuck in the fish pond. Reese Parton.
Puccini.
Robert Haynes.
The shoes, they fit.
I suppose I better do mine. Who am I?
Okay.
Deja vu.
You're Adam.
All right then. Now, guess what? Before we...
Excuse me.
Oh, go on, Mary.
You will pay for that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, Mary's confused me.
He knows women.
By disappearing on my screen. I'll make my screen a bit bigger. They might be able to see it. Oh, there she is. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
Yeah, go on then, Mary.
I'm hiding down there.
Must I remind you, this is an ambulance.
Nicely done.
Right, so I've managed to persuade Daphne to appear in this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Yeah.
All I did was...
Wow. Well, I lose to her.
You didn't tell her to... Yeah.
Shine the eye of harmony into her eye, and she just melted like that. So,
I'll do that a bit once later. Again.
But I'm intrigued to hear, because obviously last time in the show, we did hear about what you were up to at the time. So what have you been up to since you were last on the show? We've heard about a few bits and bobs, but I'd be fascinated to find out.
Yeah. Well, let me see. I think what we probably should start off with is Regenerate, that we did a week ago, which was a worldwide synchronized movie rewatch. And it was incredible. I mean, I was blogging like crazy, giving everybody the information. There were, and still are, prizes being sent out to people that participated and sent pictures in, and I'm sending pictures out to everybody who wants one until I run out, anyway. And Gary Russell, the beautiful and great, Yiji Tso, my dear friend Ken Deep, who knows so much about Doctor Who and is one of the biggest fans of Doctor Who.
Been trying to get him on the show for ages, and, you know.
Oh, my God. Well, geez, really?
Yeah, I mean, did you... Iman Lewis Trapani.
Is it... Oh, right, of course.
No, I don't want to know. We're too down market for them, you see.
Well, I don't get it, because I would think that he would be thrilled to do it. I know he's putting on the L.I. Who convention in November, and I'm sure he would love to talk about that, because, you know, they haven't done a Doctor Who convention in New York for something like 20 years. So,
and he's the guy who turned us on to you guys.
Right. So I know he loves you guys.
Oh,
so.
Thank you, Ken. I've got a lump in my throat now. Oh, no, it's all right. I'm just eating a twiglet.
It's probably just time.
It's your Adam's apple.
Good one, Ray.
That's your worst joke.
So anyway, the upshot of the Regenerate thing was, we thought, from invite responses and stuff, that we thought we'd have about maybe 300 people participate. And it turns out we had probably well over 7,000. But right now the hard number that we can give is 7,000 people. Wow. And that doesn't count like parties, you know. Mm. One big party can be counted only once. And 81 countries, were represented in this great movie rewatch. Say that five times fast. And it was brilliant. It was brilliant. Gary was fabulous. Ken was amazing. Yuji was lovely. And, you know, and I tried not to freak out, because we were technologically challenged. It turns out we have one of the weakest connections internet-wise over here in L.A., of all places. And so poor Vito was running around shutting everything off, everything electrical off, trying to drive everything towards this connection. And, of course, I kept getting kicked off. And it was – we all took turns getting kicked off. And then, you know,
it's
the Google –
a few times.
Oh, my God. And then the Google Hangout happened. And it turns out they only can take about 200, 250 people, and we were maxed out of there before we even started watching the movie. So within 7 minutes, people couldn't get into the Hangout. Luckily, my web darling had all these backup systems going, so YouTube was available, my website was available. And I know some people were doing it through Facebook. And so chats were happening everywhere, everybody was involved, and even people that weren't able to watch the movie because they were at work or whatever were actually participating. And there were over 10,000 people, I think it was 10,005 people actually communicating about Regenerate while it was happening. So it just became this enormous success. I think it's kind of historic. I don't know if anybody else
has done it. The messaging went crazy, though.
It was scary. It was really terrifying for me because I thought, if this doesn't work, first of all, we're going to have a bunch of pissed off people, and that's the last thing I wanted. And then, you know, and like I said, I kept getting kicked off, and Vito was literally having to boot me back in up to the last second. So it was a little terrifying, and I think at the beginning my voice was actually shaking because I was so nervous. But, you know, once we started the movie, once we did our 10, 9, 8, 7, 6 countdown and started the movie, it went like butter, you know? I mean, it was smooth. Yeah. It was intelligent. Gary was fabulous. I mean, everybody was just perfect. So it was just a gift.
Sorry, that's my daughter Uh-oh. Calling. Great. Most likely
hazardous.
Hang on.
I agree.
That's how I felt. That's how
Hello.
I felt.
Yay, you answer. So I'm going to get you a voicemail. I'm going to be home.
Pizza.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, Alicia.
Me?
Yeah.
Ten-ish?
Ten-ish,
yes.
Okay, I'll be up by then.
Okay, bye.
Does she know she's being recorded?
Good grief.
Yeah. I need to bring a pizza.
Now the dog's pizza just hunt. Wandered into the room. Hang on, I'll shut the door again.
You have to understand, Daphne, that when we do this, we have to live Adam's daily life during the course of
it. I have to live it more than you do.
Dog visitors.
Last time you were on, we were as professional as we could get, but this time around, I don't think we're going to be there.
How dare you.
Who organized this Regenerate? I mean, whose idea was it, and who organized it?
Good question. Yeah. Actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to actually reveal who he is, but I have a web Dalek who has been helping me get technologically savvy, or at least hooking me into the system. So he's been working with me for about, 6 months now. And he's just incredible. He's smart as can be and well trained. He'd worked with Steve Jobs and he's just incredible and super smart. And he's the one I think that came up with the original idea because, see, this would be something I wouldn't even know was possible. And he's the one who came up with the idea, and then it was up to me and him to just blog the hell out of it so that we could let people know that we were going to do this thing. And like I said, you know, there was really no indication that it was going to be more than a few hundred people at best. So it was, we were all completely in the dark. As a matter of fact, the 7,000 people number is probably way low, but there's really no way of knowing for sure because we were not prepared. So since we didn't know there were that many people, we didn't think we were going to be having to use all these backups. That was just in case. Yeah. And then to suddenly have all those people, we weren't set up to track people, and tracking after the fact is really difficult, I come to find out. So, you know, and there were a lot of people that were on one site participating, and because of the mass amounts of people, they would get redirected to another site. So there were double entries, you know, so we had to he had to do all this kind of magic stuff to kind of find out exactly the best number that we could give. And it could be up to 22,000, but there's no way of us knowing at this point for sure how many. Next time, we'll probably prepare for that, and hopefully people will be more active about just sort of going, yeah, I'm going to let you know I'm going to be there. That way we can prepare for the girth of the damn thing. You know, it's so huge.
So this falls under the category of be careful what you wish for, huh?
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Thank God it worked out. Thank God everybody's able in one way or another to listen to it. If they weren't able to chat about it, I know Google maxed out at 500 chats, so people had to go somewhere else if they wanted to continue to chat. But most people were just really, really satisfied with how it went. And as a matter of fact, we're getting all these requests to actually own the commentary, which I find fascinating. Wow. So we're trying to figure out a way to wrangle that.
Make it available.
Tell you what, Daphne, it's a good alternative to the commentary tracks on the DVD.
Yes. I think.
I mean, it's how long was it all together? Like 2.5 hours or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a while. Yeah. We had one intermission, and we talked nonstop through the whole darn thing, which I didn't even know if that was what we should do, because I thought, you know, in America, there's a lot of people that not only haven't seen the movie, but don't even know about the movie. I mean, in the morning of the day, I had gone to my Bikram class and was talking to this kid that works there, and he said he was obsessed with Doctor Who. It turns out he doesn't know anything about Doctor Who prior to the new series. He didn't even know there was a video.
Yeah.
He didn't know. So this, for me, honestly, was to sort of get Americans give them the opportunity to be introduced to number 8. Because I think Paul is exquisite in the movie. I think he's different than the other doctors.
Yes.
All of them are different from each other in many ways. But I just thought he was such a beautiful version of the doctor. And I think it's a really beautiful movie. So I really just wanted to give the movie a moment. And also just something really kind of experimental, which I always like. And also to find a way to connect with people, turns out all over the world, you know, in some way. And, you know, I think a lot of those people aren't able to get to conventions because there's no conventions in town. So this
certainly
was,
that's the case here.
Right? So.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, Adam. Adam, your audio.
Oh, because your microphone's gone buzzy again.
You're all staticky. Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of a shame.
What I find amusing is when you last talked about how when you and Paul McGann were making the movie and you were just horsing around behind the scenery, you had no idea, you know, that anything was going to come of it because there hadn't been any, there was no real plans to go forward with any more after this. Isn't it amazing what this has come to for you?
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, I often have to pinch myself because it's just like, really? Okay. I mean, I just feel really, really honored and privileged to be a part of it and to be invited in any way. So, and it's luckily it's a really happy memory because it's one of the more fun shoots I've been on. I mean, outside of a couple bibbidi bobbidi boos that might've happened along that route. It was just fun because Paul is not only a really fine actor, but he made me a better actor, which is always, good for me. And it was just, the script was so fun and we just made the most of it. And every time I'm seeing it now, every time I see it, I'm just like, wow, we were literally in sync. Like, it was almost like we were dancing in a lot of those scenes. Physically, emotionally, verbally. We were just sort of really in a special place. And that's a rare thing. So you know, what's the drawback? There is none. It's a big family. It's constantly changing. I feel privileged to be invited and I get to remember a really, really good time. So, and on top of it, I get to see my buddies, you know, people that I love that, you know, if this weren't the case with Doctor Who, I would never see these guys again unless I got a job and worked with them again. So,
when you go to conventions, and everybody is celebrating all these companions from the classic series and so on. Do you ever get treated as though, well, you were in the movie, so you don't count? I mean, do you ever run into that?
Nobody ever does it to my face. Okay. But I did get into a little squabble with a guy on Tumblr a while back. There was this whole thing where he's like, yeah, she's not a real companion. She didn't even take a ride in the TARDIS. And
oh my God.
And I did. Yeah. What was really cool was to see how I didn't have to do much of anything because the fans were like, excuse me. I'm big. Oh. And this guy was, he was educated. Let's put it that way. It was really interesting. No, he wasn't eviscerated. They're sweetie pies. but he could have been. I think on Twitter he would have been. Twitter can get rather vicious at times. But
yes.
But I think what's interesting is that this is my. I'm not a technical person. Okay, so all of this stuff is rather new to me, and what I find fascinating is that it's on all of Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook. Everybody's pretty happy. There's not a lot of negativity on my sites at all, which from what I've been told is not necessarily that regular kind of a thing.
You're the love
there's
goddess.
A lot of, huh?
You're the love goddess.
I'm the love goddess? Oh, my God.
Sounds about right.
How's my audio sounding now?
Oh, it sounds good.
Much better.
Good to edit. Yeah.
How
good.
Strange. I didn't do anything. I just muted my microphone for a few seconds. Anyway.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Yes, I've got a question, Daphne.
What?
I've got a question for you from Patrick Bishop.
Okay.
Hang on. Ooh. If I can get it up on my iPad. Or...
LA correspondent.
Yes, our LA correspondent, Patrick Bishop, who hasn't corresponded until now for a few weeks. He says, Adam, please ask Daphne who her favourite companion is. I'd say Grace, myself, as we've just...
That'd be my guess, too.
Always have great things to say. I have to say, again, this is, like, hideous. It's like asking who's your favorite doctor. It's hideous for me.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, I did fall in love with Amy.
So did Grace.
I'm still, you know, still You're getting over her being gone. And I've been watching some of the older series lately, and I think someone who I actually know, Fraser Hines, was a delight to watch.
He was
adorable, and he had a similar relationship, I mean working relationship, with Troughton. You know, there was that timing that they had was brilliant, and I thought, I don't know, I just really think he's very funny and intelligent, and he's got the comedy thing down. So he's another one of my favorites. But you know what? I love Nicola. I love Louise. I love Katie. I mean, this is impossible. So I can't really give you a fair answer to that, because I'm sort of a big fan of everybody. There's nobody that I have a problem with that I've seen. I think they're all lovely.
That's a great answer.
I have to get into Davison, though. That's the one doctor I haven't seen diddly on him, and it's driving me crazy because there's huge fan bases for him, and he looks adorable, you know, and I mean, I know he's wonderful, so I have to do a little more work on that.
Yeah, he's the doctor that got me into Doctor Who, well, as a fan.
See? Aha. Mm. So he was your first.
My first, according to my mother, was Patrick Troughton. First I remember was John Pertwee, but the first... as a Doctor Who fan, was Peter Davison.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
That works. Mm. Yeah, no, totally makes sense. There's always that one that makes you go, okay, I'm in.
That's it. Matthew?
Yeah.
Oh, you're there. Hello. Have you got anything you want to ask Daphne?
I do want to ask her about the first Big Finish audio she did, The Next Life.
Okay.
It was the end of a story arc. It was a big finale story and built a lot upon what had come before it. What was it like for you as an actress to come in and do that? Did you feel lost at all having to deal with, okay, who is this? Who am I playing? How do I tie into all that?
Okay. I think this might be a disappointing answer for you. I'm just going to start with that. But I didn't know anything about anything, and I still know very little, because I have done a bad Big Finish participant as an audience. As a matter of fact, I haven't heard my own stuff, because I have trouble listening to my own voice. But I will say this.
So does my wife.
Well, she has trouble listening to your voice. You mean Robert?
My voice. But no, I will say this. One of the things that I really love about doing audio dramas is the fearlessness that you have to, or I think the best performances will derive from a completely abandoning any fear and playing like a child. Like, for instance, one of the things my acting coach used to say to me is, because he had a problem with people who would get too much in their head and do research to the expense of their actual experience between action and cut, if that makes sense. And so, and he would say the best, performances are children at play. And so if you go to a little girl and you say, let's say she's like 6 years old and you say, you're going to play Anne Boleyn. What's her first response? More than likely, her first response is, okay. And then maybe her next response is, now who's Anne Boleyn? And then you start to fill in the blanks. But the first response is always acceptance, jumping in head first, enthusiasm, and giving over of oneself to it. And that is how I got through the next life. Because it was a gigantic script. I was completely jet-lagged out of my brain. I had never done one before. Thank God Gary Russell was directing it, because he guided me through that. And I was also seeing Paul for the first time since I'd worked with him and was working with all these other marvelous actors. And it was just a bit of a terrifying experience for me. And so I just dove in, had no knowledge of anything, not completely unlike the way I dove into Doctor Who. I had the script, but I didn't understand what Doctor Who meant to the world, you know. So I just went off what I had in front of me and gave myself over to it. And I think for me, that's probably the best at the time for me. That's probably the best thing for me as an actor, to just not have a lot of other information in my head about, you know, I had enough pressure. You know what I mean? So yeah. All the other stuff, I should be getting up on it. God knows it's been a while. And I should listen to my own thing. Yeah, we've got it. But so it's kind of a disappointing answer, I think, for you, because you probably wanted some sort of something intelligent.
I think if you say what Gary told you about playing the part.
What
Gary said about playing the part.
Oh, when he was directing me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I've said this before, but to you guys. But yeah, one of the things that Gary said to me when he was directing me, he goes, Daphne. And I said, yes. He said, think Joan Collins. And I immediately understood what he meant and said, okay.
And, why could I hear him saying it?
And not only that, I did pretty good. That was pretty good. That it was a good Gary, right? I did a good, pretty good version of Gary right there. Anyway, so I actually worked with Joan Collins in something called Pacific Palisades. And I was a little scared because, you know, she plays all these kind of bitchy characters and stuff. But you know what? She was so down to earth. She was absolutely delightful. I'm not saying she was running around telling jokes, but she was like a comrade in arms. I felt like we were sitting next to each other. I think she bummed a cigarette from me. And we just sat there like two actors. And she also complimented my outfit that I was wearing, and I'm sitting there looking at Joan Collins, one of the most gorgeous women in the world, and I just so impressed with how it was kind and generous and sweet and down to earth and good taste, Vito. Good boy, hun. Good boy. But yeah, so that was my the big directorial, you know, help that I got from Gary. It really did help me because I knew exactly what he was saying and was able to once again dive in. Don't think about it, just do it.
Well, that's so to say, with compiling the questions for the quiz, when compiling questions for quiz, you tend to watch things in a slightly different way because you're looking for little details you haven't really noticed. Uh-oh. What do you mean, before? Uh-oh. One of the little details that doesn't appear in the questions is the colour of your hair in the film. It's very similar, the way it looks on my computer when I'm watching it, to the colour of Paul McGann's wig.
Yeah, I saw that too. There was definitely some red highlight stuff going on in his wig. And you know what? I'm going to tell you about that too. I guess my whole life is a series of accidents, but my hair was that color because I had just done my first episode of JAG. And I had actually just gone through a relationship that went south and was bored and just went and dyed my hair. I went to the store, I bought some stuff, I did it myself, and I just went dark. And my hair being blonde, dark color will eventually lighten, or at least on my hair, it lightens up and lightens up and lightens up. And so it becomes kind of this red color. And when I auditioned for Doctor Who, I just happened to have red hair. As a matter of fact, I think on my very first convention that I did, someone mentioned my hair being red in the show. And I looked at him like, what are you talking? You know, I hadn't watched the movie. And I was like, what? And then I, you know, once I saw it, I was like, hell yeah, I had red hair. So that's when my hair was the way it was. But I did notice that Paul's wig did have that kind of red look to it. And part of it was the way Glenn McPherson, brilliant cinematographer, it's part of, I think, how he lit the show, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I thought, actually, it was quite interesting that his wig would change style from one shot to the next. I think it's quite funny.
You're not supposed to point those things out.
Oh, sorry, but
that's like, yeah. That's,
and the other thing I noticed was
continuity.
He would notice those to be able to puzzle us for the quiz.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, we're trying to get people to watch the movie.
Well, that's another reason to watch it.
Make them watch it.
There's another reason to watch it. Spot the little differences. People love watching films for those reasons.
Right?
Huh?
That was the rain that made us.
Yeah. You did notice that. Yeah, that's right. There was, well, if you watch it enough, you can sell scenes where it was raining and then it stopped raining and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the other thing I noticed this time was some of the beautiful aerial shots that they dropped in, the nighttime aerial shots. So I noticed some of the buildings had like neon lighting around the corners of the buildings and skyscrapers. Which looked amazing. And nothing much to do with Doctor Who. I just sort of noticed this for the first time, having watched this film several times. These are little details that I picked up on that aren't in the quiz, I just tried to point out. The only thing I did notice, there's a bit near the beginning, and this isn't your fault, Daphne, so don't feel responsible for this. There's a bit near the beginning where the Master's sort of gooey presence thing sort of moves across the console room and goes into the console itself. It sort of looks a bit weird because it seems to judder a little bit as it slides across this thing. And I thought it was my computer playing it oddly, but it wasn't. In fact, yes.
Don't drink before you watch, please.
No, really. But having said
that's deliberate, and that cost thousands of dollars to get that jitter.
Is that to keep it in running with the old style classic Doctor Who juddering on the console room? Maybe.
That was interesting about the movie. Is it really? I mean, is a bridge between the old and the new series? Perfectly represented in the fact that 1996 they were throwing. Every state of the art. Right. And just throwing everything at it that they could. And you could see where they were we still had a ways to go and where they actually did some pretty fabulous things. I mean,
video? Sorry to interrupt, but was it shot?
Film.
But the fact it was shot on film makes you think it must have an original print somewhere. They could turn it into a HD version of it.
Yeah. That's an idea.
I don't like HD though, you guys.
Why?
Think about it. Who in the hell wants to sit there and see all the flaws on everybody's face? I mean, to me, it's like, you know,
that's a woman speaking.
This sucks. It's like, please. I mean, really? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. It's like, please, might as well have something in this world that is...
Yes.
Better than what it really is. Come on.
Just like they used to Vaseline the lenses in the old days to make them look softer and prettier. That's what we women want. We don't want every pore showing.
I think men like it too. I mean, they want to see pretty, pretty women and pretty men.
Yes.
They
know that's
pleasant. It's a good thing. HD is like, oh no. Even puts flaws on people's faces that are not there. I found this out from a great makeup artist. He said that he's actually seen HD on a series that he was working on. I think it was CIS. I can't remember right now. But he said, there's even been times when he's seen weird flaws on people's faces that absolutely were not there. He knows because he did their makeup. And so it's like, it's something weird about HD. I don't know. But anyway, I got it off my chest. Thank you.
I reckon they might just bring it out, though, just to give it a bit of a revamp.
Oh, can I jump in there?
You can, but don't jump in from too high up. It might hurt.
Yeah. The TV movie was shot on film, but it was edited and the special effects were done on video. And it would be very, very difficult to put it into HD without going back to the original film.
That's what I say, go back to the original print. Yeah, it'd be good.
Well, and speaking of illusions, I caught on very quickly that Paul McGann must be much shorter than you, because every shot is either shot from below or from above, or in some way, so that he always looks like he's the same height or taller than you. Was that an interesting thing to deal with in the course of the filming?
Honestly, I think he's probably about my height, maybe a little bit taller. So, I think he's about, and I was wearing flats. So, I don't think they ever put him on 5'6¾". Thank you very much. Oh my God.
That's what you said last week anyway.
And you know, it is. I'm 5'6¾" and my favorite color is green. But Paul is funny, huh? I'm really funny. I love me. Oh my God. I'm out of control. Stop it. I think the angles on the cameras more than likely were for mood effect. I mean, that's my guess, because I've done a couple movies with Dan Curtis directing, who was responsible in so many ways for Dark Shadows. And so he was very used to doing kind of scary horror kind of things. I did this thing called Intruders with him, and he was constantly shooting up my nose. Everybody's nose. It was all about your nose. So we had to make sure everything was very clean and tidy up there. But gross. But that's what he did. He was always shooting up. It was like,
A lot of that movie.
That got me to thinking another thing about the movie. There were two things, in fact. One was the regeneration itself, noticing all the lightning and that was coming off the body and everything like that. Obviously, they've kept that going with all the power that gets generated with current regenerations.
That's funny.
Sorry?
Current regeneration.
That's almost up to the standard of Kirby's humor. What was the other thing? Do you remember the bit at the end when you're brought back to life? Spoilers. Orangey light that was used was very sort of similar to the sort of orangey. Time Lordy sort of light that happens during Time Lordy things now.
I'm glad you're pointing these things out, because especially for Americans who are really unfamiliar with the movie, et cetera, one of the questions, as a matter of fact, the Sunday before Regenerate happened, 2 weeks ago, I did a little quick appearance via Skype.
Robert, just speak up then, don't worry.
The guys in New York who were doing once a month they're doing watching an episode or the movie. And it was the week that they were going to watch the movie together in a restaurant. And one of the guys there had not seen, he was brand new to Doctor Who. And he said, so tell me what you think how your movie influenced the new series or something like that. And I basically was like, well, geez, okay. I guess the atmosphere change that happened when the TARDIS landed was never done like that before, and I know that they have done a bit of that in the new series with the wind, et cetera. There were like two or three other things I can't think of right now that were like that.
Think about how John Sims, when he transforms and he does a blah, 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 facial thing. I mean, I saw that for the first time in the movie.
There was a bit of a head shake thing, wasn't there, which they used in when the master sort of changed everybody into
that masters. Blurred head.
That always freaked me out.
Yeah. Didn't quite like it myself.
Yeah, there were other things too that I took notice of, but of course I have forgotten them right now.
But I'll tell you what, I did like it, especially the TARDIS materialization and dematerialization at the end. It was done, you can hear the TARDIS sound for a start, but there was a lovely little sort of slight image of the time vortex as it disappeared within its sort of shadow, I suppose. That was really, really good.
Yeah, and that reminds me of another thing. This was the first Doctor Who show that had a full orchestra in the soundtrack. Yes. And beautiful by Louis
Fabre and John Denby.
Louis Fabre and John Denby. And Louis is a friend of Vito's, and Vito's worked with him on other films. And so that was something we didn't. I mean, that was obviously well before we were together. So that was a weird, ironic kind of connection there. But yeah, that's something that the new series has used. So there's a lot of those little things,
and the theme starts
influences.
Up, and the theme tune starts off with the second part of the theme tune rather than the dun 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 dun. So which is actually the part that got cut up from the series as the series goes later on. You lose the little bridge thing. Ba 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 ba. You know, it's just the dun 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 dun.
You know what I just heard on Tumblr? There, somebody had filmed from the audience, probably with their phone, a performance by a all volunteer orchestra in Louisiana. And they were doing the Doctor Who theme. And it is gorgeous. I mean, it was actually somebody, you know, put it all together and created it. And it's beautiful. I just was really, I just think Doctor Who is everywhere now. It's so fun to see it taking off in the United States now, right?
Yeah.
One thing I noticed last night watching the movie was some of the master music closely resembled what they used in Utopia. And this is the first time I noticed it.
This
fast version, minor key version of the actual theme really sped up. It was very much like when, when Derek Jacobi was found out he was the master when he was looking into the watch. That's the music was very similar. I'm wondering if that if the movie music influenced when Utopia was.
I think the movie
is the least surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
I think the movie's a big influence on the new era of Doctor Who anyway. There's a lot that was kept from it.
I think the movie is too easily dismissed, but I think a lot is
it's a bridge,
taken
isn't it,
from
basically.
That.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we did Regenerate. That is exactly why we did it. The reason I did it.
It's the talking about Regenerate, although love Sylvester McCoy and he's really, really good in this, I sometimes feel in hindsight that having him in it for half an hour meant we had half an hour less of Paul McGann, even though you do hear him on audio track.
And you know how much, I hope everyone knows how much I absolutely adore Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah.
He's just one of the most wonderful people I've ever. Okay, now my daughter's calling. You're going to have to listen to
Okay, someone else's home life.
Hey, honey, how you doing? You're on the air. We're doing a little interview.
That's too good.
I'm on the air?
You're on the air. We're doing a podcast.
Hi,
and you're now on the air.
Hello, Peyton.
So, she's like, awesome. So sing a little something.
No.
So can I call you afterwards?
Yeah. Okay.
So are you all right? Okay, so I'll call you as soon as I'm done here, and we'll catch up, okay?
Say bye, Peyton.
Okay.
Now I'm going to talk about you. Okay. I adore you. I love you. I'll talk to you in a minute, okay?
Okay, I love you.
Okay, bye, honey. She is in Ithaca, New York right now, doing two plays at the Hangar Theater. She was cast in Gypsy, and she is cast in 4,000 Miles.
Wow.
And it's a summer stock thing, and she's right now attending Juilliard. She just finished her first year there, and then promptly got cast in two plays for the summer. So she's there right now, in beautiful Ithaca, New York. So, I'm going to be going out to see her in August, so I can catch at least 4,000 miles. I'll miss Gypsy, but I'm going to go see her there.
Excellent.
She's a talented one. Watch out for Peyton Ashbrook. I'm telling you, she's something else. But that's my spiel. Go ahead.
Excellent. Yes, I have I've got some feedback, by the way.
Okay.
Now, this is from Philip Cerner, Dr. Phil, who is a bit of a genius of music and a general clever clogs. And he says this, and I've got to read this, so I do apologise. Adam, here are some questions that no one else may get unless they've listened to my episode on the TV movie from years back. That's Dr. Phil's Adventures in Time. What was it again? Sorry, I've forgotten the title of his...
Adventures in Time, Space, and Music.
Thank you, Matthew. And he says, enjoy. Philip, a.k.a. Dr. Phil. Question. The moment the wounded Seventh Doctor, who has taken a bullet round to his shoulder, looks up to the TARDIS lock and sees the semi-transparent slime falling from the key lock, at that moment, a four-note musical motif... A motif in literature, motif in music, representing the master. This motif reappears a few more times in the TV movie, D, E flat, C, B, D, S, C, H in German. Ironically, it is the musical initials, a sort of musical cryptograph of a prominent Soviet era composer. Who is it? Good Lord.
Oh my goodness.
God. Oh,
good.
Whoa, whoa.
I wish I got someone else to read that with the answer. And
you won't get this one.
DC what?
Pardon?
Go ahead, Vito.
What were the initials DC?
D-S-C-H in German.
D-S-C-H. I would say Shostakovich.
Is the correct answer.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right?
It's my business.
How groovy is this?
I know we're going to start the quiz in a minute, but I think I might have to give 2 points for that one, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I won't know the answer to anything.
I think Sandy talks
for you. I'll back point you that one on that one. All right, the next question was from, this is from Dr. Phil again. What is the musical connection between the Eighth Doctor's only televised outing at this point and Superman?
Ooh. Say that again. Read it one more time.
What is the musical connection between the Eighth Doctor's What is the musical connection between the Eighth Doctor's only televised outing at this point and Superman?
See, well, Superman is John Williams, and John Debney was in charge of the score of Doctor Who, so I imagine that Debney worked for Williams at one point.
That would be worth a point. The actual answer would be Louis Faber worked on
the
Warner Brothers series Smallville about...
He did the last season on his own.
And Fabre, who, like John Sponsler, was a composer under the Academy Award nominated composer John Debney, who takes the lion's share of the credit for the music in the film.
And small little note here: in the film, Louis Fabre's name is misspelled as Sibre.
Wow!
And when they were doing the reissue, I was trying to get them to change it and could not get them to do it.
That's for sure. Another question says, rather merciful question. What is the name of the song playing at the opening and closing of the TV movie on the Doctor's gramophone? Now, I did try Shazamming this on my iPhone, but it wouldn't come up with anything, so carry on.
It sounded like Eartha Kitt, but...
It did, didn't it?
It's not. It's in the book right over there.
Do you want me to grab it?
Well, that'd be cheating.
That would be cheating, yes. This is what Matthew normally does.
He knows the rules.
Oh, well. I don't know. I thought it sounded like a tip of the hat to Billie Holiday, actually, but that was just me.
Yeah.
Originally, they wanted Billie Holiday, but they couldn't get the rights, so they went for an early 60s knockoff, I think it was, and I don't remember the woman's name.
Yeah, well, they didn't give her a name. It was In a Dream.
Yeah. Who?
In a Dream was the song. And the final question provided by Dr. Phil is, what Puccini aria from Madame Butterfly is highlighted... aria, that's what I meant. What Puccini aria from Madame Butterfly is highlighted in the TV movie, and what does the use of this music play in the movie's plot?
Is that One Fine Day aria?
That's a movie with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Who I've actually been mistaken for. Isn't that funny? Years ago, I was standing outside of a theater that I was producing and acting in a play called Full Circle, and I'm standing outside in the morning waiting for them to open the door and unlock the door, and this guy was walking down the sidewalk with two of his girlfriends, and they were walking by, and I'm standing there. I think I'm eating a bagel. And the guy stops and stares at me, and the girls are like, what are you doing? And then they start whispering and stuff, and I thought, this is weird. And then he finally comes up to me and says, are you Michelle Pfeiffer? And I said, no. And he said, yes, you are.
Makes you happy.
He said, yes, you are.
You are
too. I knew it. Can I have your autograph? And I said, I promise you I'm not Michelle Pfeiffer, and honestly, I'm not even sure how to spell her name. So it's a very strangely spelled name. So I was like, I had to convince him, but he did not believe me. The girls knew, but he was convinced that I was her. And weirdly, when I was in New York last Christmas with Peyton, two people, I was wearing a hat, so maybe it's something to do with a hat, but two people thought that they asked me if I was, did I tell you this?
No, I
they asked
me
if I was
Sean,
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Sean,
and I thought, geez, if I still look like Michelle Pfeiffer, I'd be so happy.
I thought you said it was when the story was Sean, what's his face?
Anyway, so weird little things. Anyway, we went off the beaten track.
I was going to say Sean Bean, but not Sean Bean.
What you're talking about, Sean Bean?
Oh, you know,
he loves Sean Bean.
No,
well, he doesn't.
Dead Man Walking.
Answer that question.
Sean. Oh my God! I even write about him in the book.
Right.
Dead Man Walking. Who starred in that? Come on, you guys. Milk. He won an Academy Award. Sean Penn. Thank you, my God.
And Susan Sarandon.
Sarandon.
Anyway, right. The answer to the question was...
Yeah, what is that, Aria?
Sorry.
The answer was One Fine Day.
One Fine Day, yeah.
The use of Madame Butterfly is important in that the main characters, one American, one Japanese, have a child... I thought he was Chinese. Have a child that is a product of two cultures but raised in one. This connects the music directly to the half-human biblical symbolism surrounding the Eighth Doctor as written in this story. There you go. Thank you, Dr. Phil.
Wow, we love that. Thank you, Dr. Phil.
Written in the original story, isn't explained in this current script.
And that is one of the biggest points of contention at this point, I think, left over from the movie. Yes. The kissing they got over, but that I don't think people have gotten over that whole half-human thing.
Which rather segues us nicely into this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Right, Daphne and Vito.
Not yet.
All right, not yet.
I have a question.
She's getting her book.
I asked the questions, Mary. Go on then.
Now, I did not listen to your commentary, though I planned to do so. So if you talked about this in that, then please forgive me. But this is woman to woman. When you are, your opening shots and all that dress, that gorgeous dress. that you end up running barefoot down the hallway with that dress billowing out around you. That is every woman's dream, to be in a dress like that, looking like that. How was it for you? I mean, that is, must have been one amazing costume for you.
Yeah, no, they built that thing for me, as you could probably imagine. It was a dream. It was kind of like, wow, this is so fun. But it was also, I felt a little naked, and not going to lie. I mean, it was sort of like the girls were out and there to be taken notice of, if you will. So, yeah, God love them.
They had to grab the audience right off. So they did it with you and your girls.
Yeah, that would catch your attention,
got my
I suppose.
Attention.
And I will say, but I will say this. It was one of the coldest winters that Vancouver
they always have to shoot things like that in winter, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so cold. And so, and we were in a, actually where they had shot X-Files in this particular portion of this actual working hospital. But this portion of the hospital had been kind of, you know, used as a filming location. And so it was a little weird and kind of creepy. The walls were painted very dark and there were portions that literally looked a little bit like what you saw when the doctor was wandering around with his toe tag on him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were rooms where you'd kind of go by and it was like, ew, what was in there? You know, it just was creepy. But, but yeah, so there I was in this beautiful gown running down the hallway with all these extras, and it was one of those moments where I felt really kind of uncomfortable and very conspicuous, but what the hell? Here we go! Starting! Come on, girls! Let's go! Plus, it was a little cold and free. So
you never got into how you felt about being in the dress other than feeling a little naked and awkward, huh?
No, I actually did have moments when, especially when I was, I have a few pictures actually that I found in a box under my bed, not too long ago that I include in my book, but I was like, I cannot believe I have these pictures. And it reminded me, I was sitting in Sylvester's chair, funnily enough, in the dress, and they were working on my hair and makeup and I was putting the gloves on and it was sort of like a moment of, this is kind of, it's dreamlike, you know? So
yeah,
I did have that experience. But then after that, when it was actually time to run down that hallway, I was like, okay, everybody watch out, because this dress is probably going to knock you over. beware of the blue dress. So.
It was an amazing dress.
Yeah, we love that dress. Wonder where it is.
And you looked amazing in it, too.
Thank you. You're a doll.
Anyway, here we go. Right. The order of questioning isn't in any particular order. It's just the order in which I wrote everybody's names down. So please don't feel left out. I've given 3 points to Vito and Daphne because they deserve it, and 1 point to Mary because she was nearly right with the previous question. Well done, Mary. And we can start with Kirby.
Okay.
Are you ready, Kirby? What were the Seventh Doctor's first words of the movie?
Oh, no.
Puccini.
Oh, really?
Pardon? Puccini?
Puccini.
No, do you want to ask the question again? What were the Seventh Doctor's first words of the movie?
Oh, at the very beginning.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't remember.
Does anybody else know for a point?
I know.
Oh, no.
Oh, Matt, go on then. It was.
But I'm there. That should do it.
Yes, that's correct.
There.
Yeah. Yes or no, right.
Well done, Matthew. Right, Matthew, this is your question. What was the local dateline for Gallifrey on the TARDIS scanner?
Yeah, you had to pick something I wouldn't know.
Yes,
wouldn't you?
That's the idea.
Yes.
Rassilon era 9934.
I'm going to give you a point for Rassilon era. Anybody else like to come in with the year?
5911.
Ooh, no. It was 5725.2.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, that's
right. Nice try.
Nice try.
Right, Reese.
Yes.
Oh, you are there, right.
Yes.
What colour jelly baby do we see the Seventh Doctor eat?
Oh, a yellow jelly
baby. Is correct. Right, hey. Vito what? And Daphne.
Now, was that a guess or just...
Yeah. No, I remembered it because the first time I watched it, I thought, aha, they've included jelly babies, and I just remember that scene pretty well.
Okay, why does everybody smell the damn jelly baby?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I
just eat it, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of weird looking, so it's like if you haven't had one before, I guess you would sort of want to...
So you want to make sure it's not poo or something?
Yeah. Yeah.
Colored right,
Vito and Daphne, this is your question. What okay. does the graphic behind Lee say before the TARDIS lands?
It was London, yeah. It was London billboard or something.
Yeah. London billboard.
I'll give you a point for that. It was visit London. I'm not going to, there's no point putting it out to anyone else because it was so close. Robert?
What I meant to do last night, I didn't get a chance to do it, was to figure out what the Chinese characters said.
Well, there is an app you can get to pull
that. Do that, Kirby.
Yeah.
He did that with the keyboard in Utopia.
I know. Yeah, I remember.
Right, anyway, Robert, this is your question. Are you ready, Robert?
Hit me with it.
Now that's Ian Dury and the Blockheads. And the Blockheads played the Isle of Wight Festival, actually, fair enough, but I didn't get to see him because it was on a Thursday night.
Isn't he dead now?
Yeah, he's dead, but the Blockheads are still alive. Moving on, back to the question. Robert.
Yes.
I forgot where I was now. What does the Doctor tell Lee after he is shot?
Oh.
No.
Damn,
what's it?
It's something like, isn't it the Master or something?
No.
I know.
Oh, no.
I know.
Kirby knows. Go on, Kirby.
Stop it.
I'll give you a point for that.
Stop it. Not stop it.
I'll give Kirby a point for that. The actual word line was timing malfunction. Stop it.
Then he says stop it. Okay.
So I'll give you a point for that as you got some of it. Mary, this is your question.
Okay.
What colour dress does... I'm only joking. That was a joke.
Turquoise.
You're funny.
Yeah, you're right. Turquoise, yeah.
Right. What date does the Doctor get shot?
The date he is shot. December 29th, 1999.
It was close, but not close enough. Anybody like to come in with the right answer?
30th.
December 30th. Yes, it was Reese. Reese came in the 30th.
Oh, right. The 30th.
Yes, right. Kirby, this is your question.
This is New Year's Eve.
Okay.
What is the name of the nurse that spots the two hearts on the X-ray?
I haven't the fun.
Is the wrong answer.
No, it's not my fun.
Would anybody like to come in with
Curtis.
The answer? Yes, that was Reese. It is Curtis. Well done, right. Matthew?
Yes.
Right. This is going to be such an easy one. What opera is Grace watching when her pager goes off?
Oh, my God. Puccini's,
yeah. Puccini's Madame Butterfly.
Is too much of an answer, so I'll have to deduct a point. No, I'm sorry, that's correct.
Oi.
And he had a call.
Right. This is Reese's question.
Oh, dear, yes.
Who calls Grace while she is preparing for surgery?
Oh, I've forgotten his name now. That's difficult.
I know.
Go on. I've forgotten.
Who said I know first?
Matthew.
I don't know.
Go on, Matthew.
I don't know.
Brian.
Here's the correct answer. Right, Vito and Daphne.
Yes.
Here we go. What does the Doctor tell Grace that he needs just before he is sedated?
Brilliant clock.
Is the correct answer.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't know these damn things.
Robert.
I was there.
Robert, this is your question.
Yes.
You don't have to remember.
What are the Seventh Doctor's last words?
No, I don't think that's it.
I'll go with that.
No, he didn't say that.
No, isn't it something like I'm not human?
No. Anybody?
Is it stop it?
Ooh, no. No, the answer is
timing malfunction?
The answer is got to stop him.
Is it a timing malfunction?
Got to stop it.
Got to stop it.
It sounds like a rap tune.
I know. Yeah. Let's get on that.
Right, Mary, this is your question.
All right.
Right. What is the name of the paramedic the master possesses?
Bruce.
Is the point deducted for
Mary's question.
Hold on.
And we'll give Mary a point just for being Mary. Really.
Just for being me, thank you. Yes. Thank you.
And after that round of questioning, the current scores
are... One fine day.
In last place with -1, Robert. next is Kirby with 1, then Mary with 2, then Reese with 4, then Matty with 5, and then the lead with Vito and Daphne with 6.
Whoa! What? I can't believe
not
you guys
fair.
Just let us win.
Not fair.
No, it isn't fair because I have Vito. He's won.
Right, Kirby, this is your question.
Vito, you were there, Daphne.
I know. It's pathetic. I had a script.
Right. You don't have to remember these things.
Kirby, this is your question. What is the name of the hospital the doctor regenerates in? You won't get this one.
No, I won't get
San Francisco Memorial.
These normally are locations, man.
But I'll give you a clue. It was on the tag that was tied to his toe.
I tried to read that tag, and I could not get... Yeah, I couldn't read the first word on it.
San Francisco Memorial.
It was Walker General Hospital.
That's what I said.
See, I never saw that.
Is that what you said? You sound like you said San Francisco. Never mind, I'm going to move on. right, this is for Matthew.
You know, with the modern, very popular show, would that make him The Walking Dead?
Tumbleweed. Right, this is Matthew's question. What is Ted, the hospital porter, going as to the costume party? I'll rephrase that question so you can understand.
He broke up the U.S. president. What was his name? Nixon.
No. Hang on. Your name is not Matthew. Another point deducted for Robert for jumping in. I'll ask the question again. What is Ted, the hospital porter, going as to the costume party?
I think it's Richard Nixon, if I've got
incorrect.
I've got it.
Mary?
Wild Bill Hickok.
Here's the correct answer. Because that's obviously the costume the doctor took, wasn't it?
Is my microphone not working? Because I keep trying to get in there.
That's what she said.
We don't hear you.
So competitive. Reese.
Yes?
What is the time on the morgue clock after the doctor has regenerated?
Well, after he's regenerated?
Approximately.
I took note of the time that they recorded that he died, which is 10:03, but I don't know the time on the clock after he regenerated. Pass it on.
Go on in, Matthew.
No.
Is it 1:10 a.m.?
That'll do.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Wow.
Vito that'll and do. Daphne.
That'll do, yes. Pig.
What are the Eighth Doctor's first words?
What? Say that again?
What are the Eighth Doctor's first words?
The genie.
No, I know this.
It's alive.
The genie?
No. Anybody with the answer?
Who am I?
I got it.
Yes, that was... Who said who am I? Was that you, Daphne?
I did it, yeah.
Okay, that's 2 points.
Oh, okay, it counts to be... It's not...
The first words,
I thought the first words he spoke to somebody else.
No, what's it mean? No,
good try.
Robert.
I appreciate that too.
She let Vito sway her.
Robert, if you get this one right, you'll get up to 0. Are you ready? What mask does the doctor find in a locker?
That's Richard Nixon's.
It is correct answer.
Yay! Yeah.
Mary.
Yes!
He's got a whole 0 points.
Mary. Yes! What are the master's first words?
Once he's the master?
Yes, once he's the master, yes.
Call me the master.
Out the window.
Sorry, that's my daughter texting me.
This body won't last.
No.
Anybody?
Mary.
I must find the doctor.
Yeah, what? I'm going to give you a point because you got the second half of what he said, and then I'm going to give Kirby a point because he got the first half of it. But I must find the doctor. This body won't last long. Well done. Right, Kirby, this is your question.
Yes.
What is also in the bin while the doctor's x-ray burns?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
It's not a tissue.
Fire.
There's the urinalysis cup.
Yeah. I like Beto's answer.
Yeah. Anybody going to come up with the correct answer? Go on then, Matthew. Oh.
There's a banana peel.
It's
in there,
the correct answer.
Oh, what? Oh, my God.
I think there's something else in there as well, but I can't remember what
it is. Yeah, air and fire, yes.
But what you pay attention to, Matthew.
Right, Matthew, this is your question.
Yes.
All right.
Go on, Matthew, are you ready?
I'm ready.
What does Grace say after the doctor says, "You must help me, you're a doctor"?
My oath has just expired.
There's the correct answer.
Beautiful!
Wow!
She read that just the way she wrote.
Damn, I was clever.
I couldn't believe that was Daphne saying those lines. That was just amazing.
Thank you, Matthew Jacobs.
Right then. Reese.
Yes.
Who does the doctor recollect watching a meteor shower with?
His father?
Is correct.
Mm.
Vito and Daphne.
Yes.
That's my daughter texting, by the way. What will happen if the Eye of Harmony is not closed?
Huh?
What will happen if the Eye of Harmony is not closed? That's for Vito and Daphne.
The world will be sucked into it and everything will end.
Is the correct answer.
Whoa!
Okay, all right. Well done. She was paying attention while they were making that movie.
Have you seen this before, Daphne? Right,
it's only 17 years ago.
Robert, this is your question.
That long ago.
How much weight has the doctor lost?
Oh. Ooh. 3 pounds?
Incorrect. I know this. Go on in, Matthew.
20 pounds.
In 20
minutes.
Is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, Mary, this is your question.
Pounds. Something like there's a line.
There's not many more questions left, by the way, so don't get too worried. Mary, this is your question.
All right.
What channel news do the Doctor and Grace watch?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, how many times did that come on? It was a Channel 7.
Hmm. I'll give you a point for that.
I can't remember the letters, but...
Yeah, it's the letters I'm looking for.
It starts with a K, but it's out there on the West Coast where they've got such things.
But it's not a real station.
Anybody?
Yeah.
It's not a real station.
No, the answer is KKBE7. Right. So, after that round, the scores are, with no points in last place, Robert.
Woo!
Next, Kirby with 2.
At least it's not negative.
Next after that, Mary with 5. Then it's Reese with 6. And Matthew and Vito and Daphne all with 10 points.
Wow!
Oh, wow.
We continue. This is a question for Kirby. You're going to watch the news now? No wonder you've
got
it.
When they were watching the news, I thought it was... I thought that was very new Who as well, very RTD.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
They did do that in The Damons, if you remember, with BBC Three at the archaeological.
Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't see that.
And also did it in Day of the Daleks as well, and
yeah,
kind
yeah.
of in
yes. Yes. Yeah. And so in The Damons, was, I think there was.
What? What happened?
Okay.
Say what?
No, I'm just cracking one of my funny jokes. Is he gone?
What?
Yeah, I believe that at the time that they did The Damons and had BBC Three, there was no real BBC Three.
Yeah, it was about 20 years before it started. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Next question is for Kirby, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, right. right, where do the Doctor and Grace arrive after the motorbike ride? It's the name of the building or the place they arrive.
The Institute of Technological Advancement and Research
is near enough.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The actual answer I have down here was what was on the sign outside the Institute. The Institute for Technological Advancement and Research. So you only one word.
That's what I just said.
More or less.
Yes. Therefore, Kirby said it better than you did, Adam.
Kirby, how many points did you have before this round?
You have to play for performance.
Right, anyway. Next question is for Matthew.
Yeah, did I get it or not?
You got it right, yes, that's correct, yes.
Yeah. I should hope you got it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That pedantic.
So I had particularly noted that because I noticed that in doing my research of locations, it was the Plaza of Nations in Vancouver.
So you're doing your research, were you? Is that where you used to work then?
Yeah, which they also used.
Oh, Matthew.
Matthew.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here. I was just going to comment the Plaza of Nations also was used in my favorite episode of Stargate SG-1 as well.
Okay, let's not go down that road. Matthew, this is your question.
Go down that road. It's good.
Who is going to celebrate the official starting of the atomic clock? The bloke who's going to be the man, you know.
Did you just say me, Robert?
Yes, I said me.
Anybody with an answer?
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, Peter's got it.
That's not Vito.
Vito's got it.
Go on the Vito.
You can get cream for it.
It is. Well, Professor Wag, I'll give you that. Right, next question's for Reese.
Yeah, that's right.
Reese.
Ask me that funky question, white boy.
Who does Grace introduce the Doctor as?
Sorry, everyone was laughing. Could you ask again?
Not really, no. Who does Grace introduce the Doctor as?
Oh.
Dr. John Smith.
Dot point deducted for jumping in for Robert.
Thank you. From London. That's what she says. No. Yeah, that gets me a bit
what's
of a
his
point.
Name?
I know this.
So did you... Daphne, did you see I Know This first?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Go on then. Dr. Bowman.
Here's the correct answer. Yeah. How did you get that one? Were you in it?
There was a scene cut. There was a scene cut, wasn't there?
Yes.
Where
got
he
it.
Sees a card or something at the before they go in. You go
right.
in.
Oh, I was wondering why they didn't use John Smith.
Yeah.
Right. Next question is for Vito and Daphne. And it is
Do I get a point for that, Adam?
For what?
No.
No, you've got to put a point deductive for jumping
interesting
in.
Interesting bit of information which I learnt from listening to the Regenerate last week.
No. Yeah. Right, the next question is for Vito and Daphne. What will Gareth do in 10 years' time?
Oh.
A meteorological machine. Prediction machine.
Oh,
Meteorology. What is it?
Seismic. It's seismic. It's seismic.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
I'll give you a point for that. It's sort of fairly good, but not quite what I've got down on my iPad here. Anybody like to come up with a more exact answer?
What was the question?
Oh, for goodness sake. It's
a system for predicting earthquakes.
Oh, I'll give you a sort of a point for that, Matthew. The actual answer was head of the seismology unit at the UCMA task force.
Wow.
Yes, okay. Robert, this is your question.
We're meant to remember that.
Let's see if you can get above zero again. Right. Where is the spare key?
Isn't it on top of the TARDIS or something?
Specifically.
In a little in a little corner kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Not quite.
I know.
A niche.
I know.
A little niche.
I know. Mary said I know. I heard Mary say I know first. Go on, Mary.
It's in a little compartment behind the P.
I give that for the letter I was looking for, yes. The actual line was
in
the cubby hole above
pedantic.
The P.
I know. Unfair.
That is pedantic.
No, it's not. It's the
it was
answer.
A line
no,
about
it's
it, though.
Not. It was obvious that they mentioned it.
Yes,
Mary. It's 4:05 a.m. I have had no sleep.
Oh, here we go. The no sleep excuse is coming in.
It certainly was more obvious than the banana in the wastebasket.
I have to ask, Robert, does no sleep mean you jump in with the wrong answers at the wrong time?
Yes.
I thought
actually, Adam, it's actually the only line that they speak, one of the two lines they speak together.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh, that's true.
You don't get a point for that, but thanks for the fact. Right, Mary, this is your question.
I do have to say something about that real quick.
Oh, go on. Yes.
I think that may have been when my brain started to finally give in, and I started having trouble speaking. And every time I tried to say the line, I think that was the line, I was having trouble, and finally Paul and I said it together, and it kind of worked. So I think that was the moment. Right outside that TARDIS, I was like, I can't speak anymore. And so then we did it together, and it was like, yeah, we got it. Okay, good. All right.
Okay. What's the story behind you couldn't speak, though?
Probably because it was so cold.
And we were shooting at night. So for me, it was nighttime. It was better for Paul, probably, because it was kind of more on his time when he, you know, for me. So, but I was a mess. But it worked.
Yes, it did.
Right, Mary, this is your question, and we come up to the last one. Yes, Robert.
I've got a good excuse. I'm on my third dose of morphine today as well.
For goodness sake.
I
might deduct a point for excuses.
I am telling the truth. I'm on a lot of medication.
Aww. What, are you in pain, honey?
Yes, as always.
he's got a lot of ongoing issues.
Aww.
Are you trying to make me feel bad?
Yes.
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 Is it working?
No, is it working? Mary, this is your question.
Oh. It's a heartless, heartless man.
What does Grace cost the doctor with?
Ooh.
Oh, she's got a piece from the console.
It's got a name.
Well, that I don't know.
He asks her to pass him something, and then she hits him over the head with it. And Matthew says he knows what it is.
Well, then let Matthew say.
It was the neutron ram. With one round to go, this is where we line with the scores. Robert with minus one at the bottom. And next is Kirby with four. Next is, with 6 points, Reese and Mary. And then Matthew in second place with 12. And then the lead with 13, Vito and Daphne. One more round of questions left to go.
Gosh, and you think she was there.
Them. Right.
Yes.
Right.
She knows her stuff, doesn't she?
Kirby. Yeah, she really knows her stuff.
Kirby.
Yes.
What era is on the TARDIS console at midnight?
I don't.
Does anybody know?
I think it's human era.
Was that you, Vito? Is the correct answer. Humanian, yes.
Surely you'd recognise that warm voice.
Yeah. Matthew?
Yes.
What are the Master's last words? I nearly said, what are the Laster's masked words? But I meant to say.
That's a spinnerism, Adam.
That's like finched clips, yeah.
Yes.
What are the Master's last words?
Die, doctor, die.
Life
is wasted on the living.
No. Anybody else?
Oh.
Youth is wasted on the living. Life is wasted on the living.
No.
That was before, though.
No.
Was it just him shouting,
doctor? No. The answer is...
I am alive.
No. Never, alive. Doctor. That was his last words.
Oh, yeah.
What was it?
What
does he say?
Never, doctor. Because he says, take my hand. Never, doctor. And then falls into the aisle.
Yeah, when he's holding on to the staff.
Right, Reese.
Cried.
Yes.
What does Lee say when he comes back to life?
Ooh.
No, not
he doesn't
you.
Say that. I'm actually thinking.
I'm running out of questions, actually. I've really worked this out right, but it's only for
I'm
fun.
I'm sure someone else knows. Pass it on.
I do.
Go on then, Matthew.
I do.
Matthew knows.
Doctor, I've got your thing.
Nearly right. There's only one word out, so I'll give you the point for that one. It's Doctor, I have your things. Right, Vito and Daphne.
Oh, come on.
I've given him the point. Be quiet. Vito and Daphne. Your last question is, what advice does the Doctor give Lee as he leaves?
Take a vacation. Don't be here.
There's a correct answer.
There's
only one question
left. Don't be
here
next Christmas. Well,
sorry, Mary. You won't get another question because this question goes to Robert to try and prevent him from finishing with the first ever minus figure. Are you ready, Robert? Robert?
Ooh. Yes.
Here we go. Who wrote the Doctor Who TV movie?
Sorry?
Who wrote the Doctor Who TV movie? Who wrote it?
Ooh. The actual script.
Yes. That's generally who wrote
it. No,
I'm
just talking about not the book. Not the book. It was Matthew Jacobs, wasn't it?
It is correct.
Yay, you got a point. Yay.
Thank you, Daphne, because you mentioned his name earlier.
Yeah, I didn't get that one to you, didn't I?
And therefore, the final scores of this week's You Won't Get This One are, in last place, a creditable last with 1 point, Robert. Second to last place with 4 points, Kirby. Then Reese and Mary with 6 points. An amazing runner-up with 13 points, Matthew. But the winner, and quite rightly so, Vita and Daphne, with 16 points. We'll be right back.
you did get there.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think someone has to listen to it and then count up who got the more points out of those two, and then, you know, whoever got more points out of those two should win.
Vito, you totally had me on that.
No, you're a team, guys. So.
Okay, all right.
Are you trying to say that they had an unfair advantage? I could always halve their scores and make it give them 8 each.
Yes.
That would make Matthew the winner,
I'm
and they'd still
they
finish second.
I'm saying they functioned as one.
Yeah,
it's two against one, it's not fair.
Yeah,
no, it's not. It was two against six. Hang on, four, one, two, four, five, five.
Now, if it was the Three Musketeers, it would have been an even fight.
His favorites.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, right, so I have to say, Robert,
that was painful.
As you've made me feel a little bit guilty, but not too much, would you like to pose anything to Daphne?
Pose?
Yes, a question.
Like a statue?
A point or something? Or...
It's like,
No, I did ask somebody if they wanted to ask a question, and it was a rather silly question. They were saying, apparently you were in three episodes of Murder, She Wrote. Was that right?
Yes, I did three different episodes, right.
And you know what he said? He says that, what's her name? Angela Lansbury must have been on a lot of medication to not see that you were the same person.
And the killer every time.
And I was the killer every single time. That's right. Yes. It's like, what's wrong with her?
She's really astute, that one.
Were you on Torchwood Miracle Day?
No.
That's funny, because it seemed to allude to the fact you were in your highly accurate Wikipedia page that I was reading earlier on. Because obviously Kirby relies on Wikipedia, so it's interesting to find out.
It refers to the fact that she's the only female to have a lead in both franchises, whereas a good friend, Nana, Visitor, had a guest star part in Miracle Day, a kind of a one-day little small part in that. Yeah.
Do you know what that means? That means I should read properly and before jumping into conclusions.
Yes.
Well, you know, for all I know, on Wikipedia, it could say that right now. I mean, because people can go in there and change it.
Yeah. Yes, because Stephanie's roles were leads. True. So she still holds that particular title.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. So what's coming up then?
Oh, geez, what's coming up? Lots of things. We're going to be working on the new album. And
When's that coming out?
Well, we don't have a date for that yet because we're literally writing this. We're hoping to have lots of original tunes on this one. So it's going to take a little longer than the last one. But I'm also, I've written a screenplay called A Good Thing to Chase. And it's a little, actually, it's kind of, the motif is horses, lots of horses. And it's based loosely, based on, that was beautiful, on the guy, the real horse whisperer, the guy who really is
Isn't he Australian?
No, I think he's from Montana. His name is Buck Brannaman, and there's a wonderful documentary on him. And
recently. I think last year, I think.
Yeah, he does travel the world. And I actually got to see him a few months ago in person. I took his clinic that he calls them clinics. I just observed. I don't have a horse, so... and it was brilliant. I mean, the man, the way he teaches how to interact with these animals, you can apply it to the rest of your life. It's really remarkable. You'll see if you ever check out his documentary, you'll know what I'm talking
about.
It's called Buck. And so I was really inspired by his story. I mean, his personal life story is amazing, and I was so inspired by it. And then I was asked to write a script for somebody who was pitching something to Hallmark. And so I thought, well, I've been thinking about this for a while. I might as well just hammer it out. So in 2 weeks, which is totally a record for me because I've been writing for years, but usually it takes me quite a bit longer. But in 2 weeks' time, I had a good rough draft. And I just came up with, as of yesterday morning, I think, two mornings ago, I came up with another element that I'm going to put in there. And so I'm going to be diving back into that probably as soon as we get done here. And what? Vito's doing sign language. What? I'm going to see.
You're writing a book.
Does it work well on the podcast?
Oh, yeah. No, and I've also written another screenplay about remote viewing that I've been tinkering with for probably 15 to 20 years at this point. It's ridiculous. But it's very complex, and I've finally gotten a really good pilot script for it done. And I'm thinking now I may just turn it into a book, because you can always take a book and make a movie out of it. So, I see it as being a really visual thing. It's remote viewing is such a strange phenomenon.
Yes. This is just in.
What is this? Hey, many of you are fans of Game of Thrones. Many others, fans of Daphne Ashbrook Official, my Facebook page. Those who love both are encouraged to find a role for a character, oh my God, in the books, not yet cast, that she would suit. Her complexion can go to amber chestnut, but not really the olive of Dorne or the Free Cities. Also, liberally pump up a character for some screen time. Jane Westerling went the way of Talisa after all. And please take the high road. Some mutual friends of mine are friends of hers. So stay classy. Wow. I don't really understand all of that, but
we don't either.
Somebody's trying to get me a part on Game of Thrones. And let me tell you, I'm a huge fan of Game of Thrones, so wouldn't that be lovely? I love the HBO stuff.
Yeah, I must get around to watching that at some point, because everybody seems to love it. I just don't have a lot of time to watch too much TV. I hardly have time to watch Doctor Who, let alone anything else.
I understand. You start at the beginning. You watch it in sequence.
I will enjoy it when I get a chance to watch it, I must admit. Yeah,
it's beautiful. It really is.
So, are you doing anything Doctor Who-ish, like any conventions or appearances or anything like that coming up soon?
Oh yeah, I have November. Things kind of get crazy. Possibly starting in October, I'm going to try like hell to get over there to England, because they're doing a BFI. Screening and panel with Paul.
Exciting.
And I'd love to be able to participate in that. I just have to get myself over there. So I'm working on that. But come November, I think I start off in Florida at Hurricane Who. Then I go from there to New York, right, for the LI Who, the first ever in 20 years. And then I will be doing...
Maybe
a thing in the UK on the actual anniversary. We'll see.
Oh, that'd be good.
And then, And then I come back to Chicago and do Chicago TARDIS.
Yeah,
and
that's where I'll be, and Matthew will be there too.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually had the pleasure of meeting you, Daphne, in 2009, the last time you were there with Paul.
Oh, excellent. That was such a fun convention, wasn't it?
It was.
I wish I could meet Paul. He's my doctor.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to work on that. We'll have to get there or get him to where you are.
Peter Davison's
at it. Great. So oh, I'll meet him finally. God, I'll finally meet him.
I'm going to have to mention that.
Give him a kiss. Because I'm trying to kiss them all. I've got three. I've got.
Now, there's a lofty goal.
So now I need to get the rest of them, but if they'll allow me. And then I'm going to Australia for a couple weeks in December. So
Melbourne, Victoria, Sydney, and Adelaide.
So yeah, I'm going to be really
busy. It's all on her website.
Close to Robert and Reese there.
It's on our website at deathfacebook.com.
That's cool. Right. If anybody wants to know.
I've got it right in front of me.
Excellent.
Yeah, appearances, yeah. So I'm going to be really busy, and hopefully it will continue on, because I so enjoy it. It really is a lot of fun.
Are you passing by Matthew's convention? Because Matthew's an organizer of a very good convention, aren't you, Matthew?
Con Casterbrus.
I am in India.
Have her out for next year.
What's it called?
Yeah.
Upon the convention, Matthew. Come on.
Yeah, I've been patiently waiting for an opportunity.
Get it out. Get it out.
Ooh. I've been used at the convention.
Yeah, I am one of the organizers of ConConsturbance, which Kirby mentioned the last time you were on the show. It's in, here in Huntsville, Alabama. And we just finished our second year about 2-3 weeks ago, and it was very successful. We had about 1,000 attendees by the time the weekend was over with.
Cool.
Wow.
Second year as well. And to share, share a story you were talking about earlier that a lot of people don't know about the TV movie and haven't seen it. One of the things I do with the convention is I run the viewing room and show old episodes, and the TV movie was included. And the TV movie had the biggest audience for anything that we showed. We had about 75 to 100 people crammed into a room watching it.
Wow!
Really enjoy it.
Oh,
awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we're currently working on details for 2014.
The guest of honor they just had at the most recent ConConsturbance was Caitlin Blackwood.
Caitlin Blackwood.
Oh yeah,
little Amy.
I met her. She's so cute.
she's not so little anymore.
It was so funny. When I saw her, I went up to her and I was like, "How you doing?" And she didn't know who the heck I was, and she's like, "She's like, okay." And I said, "Is this all freaking you out?" She said, "No." And I'm like, okay, good. Are you having fun? She's like, yes. I think it was her first one. She's probably an old hand at it now.
It was her first one, and she was like two years younger. When at that age, that's a huge.
Yeah, that's a big change, right?
Yeah.
She was so cute. So, she's probably singing and dancing at these things now.
Yes, well.
She'll be drinking and smoking next year. Yeah.
She certainly had fun at ConConsturbance.
She'll be at the bar with everybody else, yeah.
Yeah, you know. Go on, hey, sneak me a drink, man.
Mary at the head.
I have to move now on to the series that's just been, Daphne, because I know you watched it, didn't you?
Series
7B.
Yeah.
So yeah, what did you think of that? What was your favourite? Be quiet. What was your favorite episode?
Oh my goodness!
You don't have to come up with the titles. We can come up with the titles for you.
By Amy and Rory.
Well, that one just hurt my heart.
That was a previous series, wasn't it?
That was series 7.
The same series, Adam.
Oh right, series 7B.
Yeah, we're talking about series 7B.
The Coleman episodes.
Yes,
the last one, favorite. Okay. Wasn't it? It was like the one where they brought a lot of the Moffat was in there.
Yeah, it was more Moffat-y.
The last one, I think, was Moffat-y. The one where I felt Moffat's influence was very prevalent.
The Doctor.
Yes, and it just had the mystery that I like so much about his writing.
There was a fleeting appearance of the Eighth Doctor in it as well.
That's a gimme. I was excited. I thought I heard my voice for a minute there. It wasn't.
Well, that was the one where they go to the heart of the TARDIS and the TARDIS start hearing voices when they open up the console.
Yeah. Yeah.
We thought we heard Grace, but apparently we've been corrected on that.
Yeah. That's a bit of a shame, isn't it?
Oh. Yeah, that would have been such a hoot. But
would you have got some royalties for that, though, if they'd done that?
I doubt it.
I think the rights issues with the TV movie make it very difficult for them to use any.
Don't worry, that's just Robert Hiccuping again.
That's true, and I think that's still an issue. But so
we're starting to get towards the end of the the magician scarves. I think we're finally getting to the end of who
owns them.
Yeah, we're getting closer.
Okay, yeah, because that's always a mystery. Everybody's like, well, who is holding this thing? And that was the reason why the movie wasn't released until 2011 in the United States. So no wonder nobody's seen it over here, you know.
Yeah.
But catching up slowly but surely. Yeah.
Same here in in Australia too.
Is that right?
The production deal when they made it, because when the deal was originally made to do the TV movie, Steven Spielberg's company Amblin was still involved. That's how Universal got involved, because Universal had to deal with Amblin. And Universal ended up with the world home video rights, with the exception of the UK, where the BBC still held on to it. That's you know, after the TV movie didn't go to series, Universal, it seems, didn't really know what to do with it. And drug their feet for years and years and years about getting it released anywhere else.
Oh, so they're the culprits.
Well, there's some claimants that Matthew Jacobs owns the characters, and that's what's holding it up.
Oh. Yeah, I've heard that, too.
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
Yeah, really, because he was writing... He was hired to write it, so... Well, it's not like he wrote it and then they went, oh, let me buy the rights.
Well, it's also...
Even then, they'd have bought the rights.
It's also, he can make money by selling the rights, so you'd think he'd
want... That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I know talked about wanting to use Grace and Chang Li over the years and say that apparently Universal owns the characters and they can't afford to pay Universal to use them.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
Shame, isn't it?
Mm. It's a Universal shame.
It's a Universal shame.
Well, and you've got a Big Finish audio coming out in July, don't you?
That's true. We have Mastermind.
Hey, Mary, it's July here.
It's true. It's July for you.
Very good. Yes.
That's been for 6 hours and 51 minutes.
Everywhere else is next month.
I think it's July 12th.
It's very sharp of you there, Robert. Are you sure you've been taking your morphine?
But and that's a follow up to the Time Vault, isn't it?
Tales from the Vault.
Right.
I love that.
Are there any further stories of that? What?
Serious? No. So far as I know, there's only the two.
So far, but there's rumors of Daphne doing more, and we'll know more later in the year.
Is that right?
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Well, you know.
and when they're doing these audio go things on the destiny of the Doctor with a new story every month, I thought maybe they would be tapping Daphne to do the Eighth Doctor's. Sorry, but I guess not, since we're coming up on that.
Well, go ahead.
Well, the India Fisher's doing that one. I suspect the reason that the BBC didn't use you would probably be also you being in the United States makes it difficult because everybody have been UK based.
No, it's the rights,
but also the rights issues as well.
If Universal owns Grace, then I guess they couldn't use her.
Hang on, I've got an idea.
Cyber later.
I've got an idea.
Yes. Cyber later.
Is it all right now?
You're a Dalek.
You're a Dalek, yeah.
Am I?
Yeah. Exterminate.
I don't think it's recording like that. I think it's just coming over the Skype like it.
Dude, that's awful, Adam.
Can't understand you at all.
It's terrible. It sounds just like a Dalek.
Oh, you carry on then. I'll mute myself for a bit.
Carry on.
Carry on.
We obey.
Freaky.
Mute myself.
I have a footnote about Mastermind. I was supposed to go over there in May of last year and was shooting a series, so I couldn't leave. And I was so bummed because everybody was there. And I was at the time I was supposed to also record Mastermind, and so I missed everything. Yuji was there; he did his portion, his role. He recorded it over there, and so we were trying to get me over there, and it just didn't happen. And then come Gallifrey, February Gallifrey 1 convention, Jason Hey Gallery was coming over for the convention, and so we worked it out. Vito booked us a recording studio, and we went in there, and we actually recorded it here with Jason directing, and
Andrew Collins
did played all the other characters, and he was brilliant. So it turned into a really kind of fun thing, and so it can happen. It's just, it takes a little organization and
it's all about the rights at this point. I've spoken to everybody at Big Finish, and even though there's been progress on moving it along, there's still not real clearance to use Grace or Chang Li.
I reckon so that sucks. Really.
It just sucks.
How's my audio now?
Oh, that's very good.
I've come up with an idea, right? And you can put this
twice.
Be quiet. This is a brilliant idea, and I'm going to copyright it, so please remember that.
Okay.
Right. There's nothing in the whole of the Doctor Who TV movie that indicates that Grace hasn't got an identical twin sister.
<That's bad. laughs> She's back in Sacramento. Nobody knows about her, right?
Yes. Thank you.
And what's her name?
Hope.
Yes, Hope. Yes. I haven't got copyright on the name, but I've got copyright on the idea of the character.
Okay. They're with you.
Yeah. So something happens and they switch bodies, you know, like in the...
Yeah, something like that. And they only have the copyright on Grace, but not on Hope.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go. Hope. Yes.
Yes.
Hope
springs eternal.
Help me, everyone. Mm-hmm. I only hope.
No, hope, not help.
Help me, Rhonda. Help.
Anyway, did you say you were going to sing a song? Or was that?
Oh God!
What?
Sing a song. Yeah. What
do
you want me to sing?
What did you sing to Colin?
Oh, we all of me.
Put that on,
I did. I had been blogging up to the Denver convention event all over the place, and was basically teasing Colin through the whole thing, saying, you know, I'm coming. And I heard you sing, so get your vocal cords warmed up because we're gonna do a little ditty together. And I just kept on bugging him. And then when we got there, I was like, okay, so this is it. And then it was like the gal who was doing the first interview was Michelle Talkington, who's just lovely, and we actually really hit it off. And I did a couple interviews with her. She's just incredible. So anyway, she was like, okay, so you guys better sing. And I was like, really? I started to get cold feet because, you know, I hadn't rehearsed anything. So the night before the panel was supposed to happen, I got on my computer and I was like, all right, what am I going to do? So I started, you know, looking through stuff and I was like, well, you know, I kind of cut my teeth throwing up on Billie Holiday, and now I can pull something off there if I looked at it. And so I pulled up the lyrics to All of Me, and I just thought, this will totally embarrass Colin. I'm going to do it. So I just didn't know how or when I was going to actually spring this on him. So we're sitting there and we're waiting on, there were probably 1,000 people in that room. I kid you not. It was huge. And, we're sort of waiting for everyone to gather, and everybody's sort of, no, it hasn't begun yet, but we're all sitting on stage behind the mics. And so I just went, well, now or never, I just have to do it or I'm going to chicken out. So I started singing to the poor man, and I totally, I just sang All of Me, and he turned pink. And, and then when I was done, he started to sing to me. I forget. What did he sing to me?
It's a British song that we don't know.
It was really beautiful. He has this beautiful tenor voice. And and so we serenaded each other. It was really cute. So that was, yeah. Little music to lift the soul.
Yeah. A darkness companion serenading each other through the...
Aww.
Did anybody record it?
You know what? We expected to see probably something pop up on YouTube, but I think everybody was stunned. They didn't know what was happening. And, I don't think anybody got that. It was a shame because I think it turned out rather well, weirdly.
It's going to probably show up on somebody's radar out in space in about 30 years.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you're not going to be singing for the moment?
Well, if you have any requests, I'll try to pull something together. What would you like to hear?
Mary wants you to sing. Go on, Mary.
Show.
Oh, be quiet, Reese, for goodness sake.
Oh, it's a song.
It's a silly song. No, it's a...
That's all I can sing. That's why I...
You can sing that, can you? Go on then, Mary. You're a connoisseur of music and stuff, aren't you?
Go ahead. What?
Music man, what do I sing?
What does Mary want you to hear?
Yeah, I hope I know it.
Well, there's the Disney song, When You Wish Upon a Star.
Oh.
Oh, God, I know that
you
much.
Wish upon
be quiet.
Let me see. How about a show tune? Can you think of a show tune?
Oh, loads of show tunes. That's a good one.
South Pacific.
Let me see. I could do. Oh God, I could try to pull something off from Sweet Charity. Oh, let me see if I can remember.
Ooh, okay.
Can I remember how this song and dance began? Yes, I can. You're damned right I can. It began. Well, anyway, you know there was this man who stopped and asked me if I knew which way was Lexington Avenue. I said, I'm going to Bloomingdale's. He said, I'm going to Bloomingdale's. So we hoofed it over to Bloomingdale's. He wanted to buy a pair of jockey shorts. And then he said, Miss, would you like a cup of tea or maybe some 7-Up? I left the tip, picked up the tab for the jockey shorts and the taxi cab. He dropped me off and boy did I burn. Let that be a lesson to you. Lower the boom, girl. Lower the boom. But what can you do when he knocks on your door? 'Cause they locked him out of his furnished room. So he moves in. He moves in with his jockey shorts and a paper bag and nothing else. He needs toothpaste and a toothbrush and pajama tops. He needs a razor blade, a razor and a comb. Several. He needs sistering and brothering and fathering and mothering. He needs a hat to hang up in my flat and call it home. Comes July, it's 98 degrees. He wants a coat. He wants a fur-lined coat for collar, cuffs, the works, plus tax. And when I really didn't begrudge it, when I figured out my budget, where for that coat I had to pay something like £1,100. I don't remember the rest. Oh, well.
That is amazing. Oh, thank you.
Why aren't you on Broadway?
An exclusive to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
You're bound to God's ears.
Yes.
You know, I think I did that play when I was like 16 years old, and that's the first time I've sung that song since then.
Thank you very much.
You remember a lot.
On that note.
Yes.
On that note.
Oh, I thought that was suddenly went quiet for a moment. There. Yes, it's probably, it might be a good idea to.
That was your cue, Adam.
Yes, and on that note, it's probably a good idea to wind the show up because there's a very good reason. There's a horrible teenage monster approaching the house. the same horrible teenage monster that called about an hour ago. I've just scanned her on my iPhone, and she's within 5 minutes of arriving.
And
she will burst through the door and make me jump out of my skin.
No, unlikely. She'll have to have pizza.
Unlikely to ask for pizza. She is likely to try and cause an argument. Therefore, I think it might be a good idea to say thank you, Vito. Thank you, Daphne, so much for coming on the show again. Mm. And I hope we haven't put you off for the possibility of coming back on yet again to get a further upgrade to whatever Toby Haydoke says the next upgrade is. It's an upgrade. It's a status upgrade.
Well, we're family now, so if we don't want to, we're going to. So.
Yes, as I say, thank you. It's been absolutely brilliant. Yes. We could have gone on for another couple of hours, quite happily, but we have to stop somewhere.
I love you guys. I just love you guys. It's always so much fun, and thank you so much for having me back, and I would love to do it again.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a treat. Thank you so much.
Love you.
We love
Thank
you,
you
don't
for
we?
Last week too.
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yes, very, very, very enjoyable.
Thank you. I'm so glad it worked out. Thank God.
We'll try and get you back for the 200th episode, which is probably in about 6 months' time, if I get my calculations right.
You'll have recovered by then.
If you're not too busy, obviously.
Yes. Well, we'll have to try and get you on the show when me and Mary are up at Chicago TARDIS in November.
Yeah. That'd be good. That'd be fantastic, yes. Cool. Excellent. Anyway.
Live podcast, yeah.
Live podcast.
Yes, live.
But it worked at Conca Sturbaris.
We did that at Conca Sturbaris. It was pretty successful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
It's fun.
Yeah, amazing. That did
and
surprise me.
I always reckon live podcasts are better than dead podcasts.
Oh,
I agree.
I'll just have to invest in a better microphone between now and then.
Yeah, you better.
Yeah, that'd be good, actually.
It's
if
still
you
underwater.
You get a better laptop, but a worse microphone. It's terrible, isn't it?
Oh, you better.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't turn into the Dalek, because you were a Dalek rather than a
Dalek. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you were, Adam.
It's an ongoing issue, but most of the time I sound all right. Anyway,
you sound great.
Until the next time, thank you so much, and I really haven't got anything else to say apart from thank you so much.
You're welcome.
that's it. Thanks, everybody. Great show.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Feel better.
Thank you very much.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.